Blog Talk Radio.
Garage Talk Live starts now.
Yeah.
Irma Mercola, Black Mamba, doing a cover of Highway Star. I know I had Metallica's Fuel for a while, but for some reason, this is, as a Deep Purple fan, watching somebody else do it works for me. Well, it's been a busy, busy weekend in racing this weekend. IndyCar in action. NHRA out at the Strip for a 4-wide Nationals West. And NASCAR just further south at Texas Motor Speedway, where everything play. All the cars and all the racing is in the warm weather, even though in Texas they were wearing big, thick, heavy coats. Like to wish a happy birthday to our pal Jamie Little of Fox Sports. It was her birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to Jamie. And she usually joins us on the air from time to time. Been a friend of mine for, at least 10 years. Maybe more. Used to do the IndyCar for ABC and worked for ESPN. And when ESPN pulled out of the broadcasting, she was picked up by Fox. That's good, though, because she's a friend of mine and got to meet her at Dover. That's where I met a lot of these people. It was at Dover, and and made friends with them that have lasted today. So, Jamie, hope the kids are doing well. It's funny, though, because she's from Las Vegas, and she moved to Indianapolis because she likes the snow. Right now, she's probably hanging down in Charlotte area because that's where pretty much everything in NASCAR hovers around. Even though NASCAR's main offices are in Daytona, but Charlotte seems to be the base for all things NASCAR broadcasting for whatever affiliation is around. Anyway, let's start out in the desert in Phoenix, ISM Raceway. Oval track race for Indy cars, which is rare. 250 laps. Joseph Newgarden takes the checkered flag. Robert Wicken second. Alexander Rossi takes the third spot. Scott Dixon in fourth. Ryan Hunter-Reay, fifth. James Hinchcliffe, if you don't know who he is, he's on a lot of Honda commercials now, sixth spot. Eddie Carpenter, seventh. Tony Kanaan, eighth. Ninth is Graham Rahal. His girlfriend is Courtney Force. She was racing up in Las Vegas there, so while he was in Phoenix, she was there. Simone Pagino rounds out the top 10. There were 9 cautions. 2 cautions for 23 laps. They have a lead change summary, but instead of how many cars per leader, how many lead changes amongst how many drivers, they just list the numbers of drivers and the lead changes. So I see 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 13. 13 lead changes. Which is pretty good for an Indy car. So the leaders were 13 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. 11 cars finished on the lead lap. And the cautions were for car contact for the first one and the second one as well. I guess they hit the wall because it wasn't a multiple car incident. Fastest lap was 178.3. Now there we go, 12 lead changes. 23 caution laps, average speed 147. And the fastest lap was turned on lap two by Sebastian Bourdais, who did start from the pole. I think I got the IndyCar schedule here next somewhere. No, I don't. I used to have last year's. I don't have this year's. I usually have them all in a row on my computer. But we'll have to go find it. Anyway, there's your IndyCar results. Out to the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series, the four wide nationals. Turned out to be a good for some, not for others. Out at the strip, of course, they redid the whole track just for this event this year. To the ladders. And we'll start with the top fuel division. Finals came down to Steve Torrence, and either my internet's acting a little weird there. To the results. Steve Torrence wins in top fuel. J.R. Todd takes the funny car. Vincent Nobile takes his first win of the season in pro stock. For Elite Motorsports, of course, Eric Enders, our pal, went out in the first round. J.R. Todd gets his first win of the season for Kalita. Courtney Force did make it to the finals. Everything else doesn't matter, I guess, the four wide. Final four were Tommy Johnson and J.R. Todd in one set of lanes, Fast Jack Beckman, and Courtney Force in the other pair, so she made it to the finals. And then they all raced off from there. Like I said, Vincent Nobile, the Pro Stock bikes didn't run this year, so let's go to the standings. Fuel category, Steve Torrence, who took the win, leads the points by 33 over the Sarge, Tony Schumacher. Of course, top three were in the finals. Antron Brown in the third spot. He's 43 back. Clay Milliken in fourth. Doug Kalita in the fifth spot. Richie Crampton up. Climbing the thing. The ladder is in the sixth. Leah Pritchett, seventh. Eighth, Scotty Palmer. Brittany Force in the ninth spot. And tenth is Terry McMillan. In the plenty car division, points lead Courtney Force with the final round. climbing the second, 1 point over Matt Hagen, who actually hit the red light and was hit it early, too, and didn't make it on to hold his points lead. So he drops to third. He's 37 back. Tommy Johnson Jr. is fourth, 73 back. Ronnie Capps fifth. J.R. Todd sixth. Robert Height seventh. Sean Langdon eighth. Ninth, Johnny Lindbergh. Rounding out the top 10, Del Worsham. 18 points out of the top 10 is John Force. At least he had a few good rounds and didn't wreck and have to go to the hospital this week. He wasn't the dominant car in the team this weekend. His daughter Courtney was. On to the pro stock. Bo Butner still has a 29-point lead over Chris McGahey. Derek Kramer in the third spot, 33 back. Vincent Nobile with the win, climbs to fourth. Jason Lyne, fifth, 54 back. Greg Anderson, 69 back and sixth. The two teammates there are having a struggle this year. Bo Butner, who does rent equipment from considered a teammate of Lyne and Anderson, are still he's the one having a good year this year. He got the good equipment. Drew Skillman in seventh, Tanner Gray eighth, ninth Alex Laughlin, and 10th is Erica Enders, but she's 124 back. But once you get in, if you make the top 10, you're in the countdown. And number 11, the other elite driver, Jake Coughlin Jr. So there you have it. NHRA standings and results. In car announcing the Whalen Euro Series, Bobby Labonte will be driving in that. And had a teleconference on it this morning, yesterday, so I'm sure I could have gotten some stuff. As a matter of fact, let me go to audio. I believe I have a clip of that, the teleconference. Bobby Labonte. See what he had to say about driving. I guess he couldn't stay retired for too long.
Thank you, and thank you all for joining us this morning. We are joined by NASCAR Hall of Fame nominee Bobby Labonte, who has a very special announcement today regarding the NASCAR Whalen Euro Series. Bobby will be competing full-time in the Euro Series in 2018. He'll be looking to add an international championship to his Monster Energy and Xfinity Series championship. Bobby, if you can just open up, I don't know if everyone on this call knows, but you competed in the series last year at Brands Hatch. What is it about the series that you enjoyed, and what sparked your interest in competing full-time and chasing a championship?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. And, I will have to say that for the past couple of years, I've been doing some stuff in NASCAR, raced a little bit a couple of years ago, did some testing for a team up until the first part of last year with some stuff. And I've kept my finger or, and helmet with me to go do some testing and racing. And when I went to Brands Hatch last year, meeting Jerome and Ann Galpin, the series that they have over there is truly exciting, and it's a different for me than not what I've done in the past. And I've done a lot of racing and different types of racing and enjoy it all. And to be able to go over there and to race competitively with them last year, Brands Hatch. So I've never been there before, and the whole format is different. Everything's different than what you would find over here at a local, or not a local track, but in the Cup Series or Xfinity or Truck Series. It's a different environment. But I enjoyed it, and I've always just kept in touch with Jerome and Ann, and, you know, things, trying to get things worked out where I'm going to do it again, and not necessarily for the whole year, but it just turned out that great. And then, but we were able to put together the program, and it's 6 weekends, 12 races, so it's not like 12 weekends. So the schedule's pretty, you know, accommodating and enjoyable, and, you know, get to meet new people that are different places, and the competitors are phenomenal. And so it's exciting to be a part of the NASCAR Wheeling European Series.
Thank you, and we will now open the line for questions for Bobby Labonte.
And there you have Bobby Labonte talking about Racing International and the Wheeling Euro Series. I think Jennifer Jo Cobb might be running in that. I saw where she is. He's going to be an international driver for, I don't know if it's for the full season next year or what, but we'll get her on next week. So, in the Xfinity Series, we'll go to that right now. Here's what happened out of Texas. Ryan Blaney driving the 22 takes the win. Christopher Bell comes in second. Third, Daniel Hemrich, Cole Custer, good run for him in fourth. Ryan Preece takes home and comes in fifth. Matt Tift in the sixth spot. Jamie McMurray in seventh. Elliot Sadler eighth, then Cindric ninth. Rounding out the top ten is Spencer Gallagher. Blaney led three times for 132 of the 200 laps and won the first stage. Second stage was won by Brandon Jones, an Xfinity regular. I mean, outside of Ryan Blaney and Jamie McMurray, eight of the top ten were Xfinity regular series drivers. So it was Blaney's seventh NASCAR Xfinity Series victories. Failed to qualify, Mike Harmon and Mills. Eight cautions for 42 laps, 11 lead changes amongst nine drivers. As far as So let's hear from our winner.
All right, we're going to wrap up our post-race media availabilities for today's My Bariatric Solutions 300 here at Texas Motor Speedway. We are joined by our race winner, Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 22 Fitzgerald Glider Kit Ford, and the crew chief, Brian Wilson, on the car. Gentlemen, why don't you each just take us through that race there for us?
Yeah, you know, we were able to start up front there, and a lot of cautions early, especially in kind of the middle stage of that race. And it's kind of hard to get going and really tell what your car was doing. You know, the temperatures were so different yesterday when we practiced today. We didn't really know where we were going to be at, where we were going to start off the race and our balance be at. But we had a decent idea, and the changes we made were going to be strong. I was confident in them, but you just don't really know. And I think we ran two laps segments before, in between cautions for like three or four cautions, and I didn't really know what we needed. And we were able to tinker on all day. I thought we were pretty close to begin with, and We got behind there a little bit when we got loose on that restart, and the stages got broken up, but we were able to restart, I think, seventh there and drive back up to the lead and lead the whole thing after that. So just a really fast race car. That's three in a row for this team with three different drivers. That says a lot about Brian's work that he's done and the whole team to bring really fast cars to the racetrack here lately, and hopefully we can keep this up. So it was definitely a fun day.
And Brian, your view from the top of the pit box?
Yeah, so like Brian said, it was a big question coming into the day how the car was going to respond to the track temp being so much cooler. You never know what you're going to have when it's that big of a swing. So really the beginning of the race being out front, it was great to see. But, I definitely wanted to see how we were, if we had to get back into traffic, if we have to fight through anything, because, clean air helps so many things. So even though we kind of got jumbled up there, and really the reason we were jumbled up at all was just because of the way that the stage racing goes, where everything kind of got, cycled out, where some guys had pitted, and then finally we pitted, and the guys stayed out for the stage break. So, I love that aspect of the stage racing. But at that point, it was really good to see that our car still had speed, even though we were back in the dirty air. So at that point in the race, it was, one of those races where you're just hoping you get to the end of it and nothing gets screwed up. And Picture did a really good job. And, like Ryan said, everyone at Team Penske has been doing a really good job bringing fast race cars to the track. So it makes it a lot of fun. Past 3 weeks have kind of been a dream role here.
All right. We'll open up to questions for our race winners. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic. We'll start up front here with Jerry.
Jerry Fraley, Dallas Morning News for Ryan. Ryan, when your two teammates have won in the car and then they hand it over to you, is there any friendly pressure put upon you or any sort of you better win or not come back kind of thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to lie about that. But Brad and Joey, they definitely reminded me that this week. They're like, hey, we wanted that thing. I think we won two in a row, two different drivers, and don't mess it up. It's pretty much what you don't want to do. And they were definitely reminding me of that. And it is in the back of your mind. You're like, man, you never want to be the person who breaks the streak of wins, especially when the car's been so fast. And that's a that's a huge feat to do, to win three in a row with three different drivers at almost three different racetracks. That is really amazing. And that part is just nice to be a part of. But there was that reminder in the back of my head to try to get this thing.
There you have your winner from Saturday, Ryan Blaney and his crew chief. On to Sunday. Well, let's check out the standings first. As of now, Tyler Reddick leads the points seeding because he's in first place, because he is the only Xfinity Series driver with a win. As far as overall points go, Elliott Sadler has the overall points lead, but Reddick was only 11 behind him anyway, so they just flipped lap positions. Justin Allgaier is in the third spot. Christopher Bell, who had a good run this past weekend, he was fourth. Daniel Hemric, fifth. Cole Custer, sixth. Spencer Gallagher, 7th. Ryan Truex, Marty's younger brother, is in 8th, 9th. Bobby Jones, Matt Tift is in 10th. 11th is Ryan Reed, and rounding out the top 12 playoff contenders is Kaz Grala. Of course, the Truck Series off this past week. They were in action a couple weeks ago. Out at Martinsville, it's Johnny Sauter and Brett Moffitt in the top two spots. Grant Enfinger, third. Ben Rhodes, fourth. Noah Gragson, fifth. Sixth, Stuart Friesen, Matt Crafton, seventh. And Snyder in eighth spot. They only have eight that make the field. On to the main event of the weekend. I had picked Kevin Harvick last week at the end of the show, if you all remember, but he led three times for 87 laps and won stage one and had some problems in the pits. Was a lap down. Did manage to get back on the lead lap, but came up short to the eventual winner, number 18, Kyle Busch, for his first win of the season. Harvick was looking to get his fourth of the year, and the way he had been running on the mile and a half, that's what made me pick him, but he came up a little short. As a matter of fact, the margin of victory was so short that it was only 0.3 seconds. Every time he got close, Kyle was able to just maintain the lead, whether they caught traffic, which would help him to get close, but once they cleared traffic, then Kyle would pull away a little bit. The average speed, 141.7, a 3 hour and 32 minute and 7 second race. No overtime, 334 laps for a total of 501 miles. That was regulation because it says Texas is a mile and a half, but sometimes the rather than go under, they go over. But Kyle Busch looking for that big win back in the playoffs, locking down. We'll get the rundown on that in a little bit. Jamie McMurray takes third. Eric Jones, who led twice for 64 laps, in fourth. Ryan Blaney was in the fifth spot. Joey Logano, sixth. Kurt Busch, seventh. Eighth, Darrell Wallace Jr. Ninth, Clint Bowyer. And rounding out the top ten was William Byron. I'll tell you, the Fords this year are getting it done. I mean, you had Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, Kurt Busch, and Clint Bowyer all in the top ten. So let me count them out. One, two, three, four, five. Five out of the top ten. Or Fords, a couple of Toyotas, of course, the winner being one of those, and a couple of Chevys. Matter of fact, I see two Toyotas, five Fords, and three Chevys. So everybody's represented in the top ten, but Kyle Busch taking the win. Of course, Kyle Busch took stage two as well, and as well as the win, so he winds up with 6 bonus points out of a possible 7. It was Kyle's 44th Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series win. 8 cautions for 48 laps. Now, you always got to remember, 2 of those are stage enders. 16 lead changes amongst 8 drivers. So everybody that led twice, at least. As a matter of fact, 2 guys led once. Ricky Stenhouse led for 10 laps, and Denny Hamlin led for 12 laps. Of course, Hamlin got into a fender bender. Stenhouse had suspension problems. Martin Truex, who was dominant on the mile and a half last year, wound up hitting the wall. So did Kyle Larson. So they didn't have very good days. And then there was a mashup of a few cars. On lap 179, you had Keselowski, Dillon, Trevor Bayne, Eric Almirola, Denny Hamlin, the 38, and Jimmy Johnson. Matter of fact, Martin Truex started 6th and finished dead last at 37th. Only 37 cars in the field. I guess 40 didn't even. I guess everybody had a chance to make it because there used to be a 40-car field every so often. So that tells you the money for people to get there isn't there. So Kyle Busch leads the points overall with the win. But as we head to the seedings, it's Kevin Harvick with 3 wins. Martin Truex, Clint Bowyer, Austin Dillon, and actually with Kyle Busch in there, he'll be in the 2nd spot now because the other single-time winners will be dropped down below him because Kyle leads the overall points. Then you have of the non-winners, then you have Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Brad Keselowski in 7th, Kurt Busch in 8th, Denny Hamlin 9th, Kyle Larson 10th, Eric Jones in 11th, 12th is Eric Amarola, Austin Dillon is 3rd, and take that back, I said he's 13th, but this has got to be realigned. I screwed up there because I'm reading off the actual points, and of course, NASCAR's Energy Cup Series grid for the Cup Series is not up to date. Kyle Busch in 2nd, Truex 3rd, Clinton Bowyer 4th. I mean, they might even be flip-flopped around anyway because of Truex finishing last. So I'm going to leave that at that and just give you the five winners in a row, your top five. But and then I'll just go and let you know who's all in there. And the 16th spot would be Paul Menard at the bottom of the list, bouncing Ryan Newman, who was only a point behind Paul Menard. So, but let's go to the audio tape. Of course, Jamie Murray finished 3rd. See what he had to say.
All right, we're going to continue with our post-race media availabilities for today's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500 here at Texas Motor Speedway. We are joined by Jamie McMurray, driver of the number 1, Cessna Chevrolet, who finished 3rd in today's race. Jamie, pretty strong run out there. Why don't you just take us through it, please?
Yeah, it was basically just a really good day for us from the start of the race. The car was especially on the long runs. And then fortunate to, you know, miss a lot of the wrecks that happened and survived, and then had good pit stops. So all around, just a pretty solid day for our team.
All right, we'll open up to questions for Jamie. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. Jerry in the front.
Jerry Fraley, Dallas Morning News. Kevin Harvick was just sitting here and said his crew had a ton of problem with the pit guns, and that's been going on all year. Has your crew experienced any of those same difficulties?
You mean today or just in general? Yeah, I think there's a huge adjustment to get used to those the pit guns that we've used in the past. There was a lot of work that went into those to get them to the level they were at. And the pit guns that we get from NASCAR are they're not even close to that same level. So I think there's a big adjustment for the teams, and I don't know if we've had any problems throughout the year with the pit gun.
All right, we're going to go up to the press box next for a question from Lee.
Lee Spencer, Racing Voice. I've got a question about, you said the off week couldn't have come at a better time for your team. You guys struggled at the beginning of the year. Best finish so far was 16th, and then you come back and just look totally strong in the closing lap. Can you talk about what you guys did to regroup?
Well, we ran okay at Vegas and Phoenix, and blew a right front at Vegas, and then I had to pit with like 10 laps to go or 8 laps to go at Phoenix, and didn't, you know, ended up losing a couple of laps because of another tire issue. Then had to pit again at Martinsville because of a left rear tire rub with like 10 laps to go. So we've run okay. We certainly haven't run as well as we did today, but we've run okay this year, but today certainly was our best performance. We had some different stuff in our car. You try to learn in the off season, and some of the stuff that we tried at the beginning of the year didn't work out. So we went back to similar to what we had last year, and we ran really well in the mile and a half, and our performance was way, way better today than it's been all year long. So hopefully we can continue to work with that setup and those parts and perform each week.
There you have Jamie McMurray. Here is your 2nd place finisher, Kevin Harvick, and what he had to say.
All right, we're going to get started with our post-race media availabilities for today's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. We are joined by our 2nd place finisher, Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4, Busch Light Ford. Kevin, you had a pretty good battle getting going there at the end. With the number 18, why don't you just take us through those last few laps?
Yeah, it's just been a frustrating 2 days. We've had a pathetic day on
2 days on pit road because we can't get pit guns that work in our pit stall. So, you know, today we had to pit under green, got ourselves a lap down because, you know, the pit guns work half the time and then they don't half the time. Yesterday we had 4 loose wheels because, you know, the pit guns can't get the tires tight. So our guys did a great job with a really fast race car. And I feel bad for the guys on pit road because they get handed, just absolutely inconsistent pieces of equipment. And today it wound up costing us a race. We've had 4 or 5 issues with the pit guns this year as we've gone through the year. And we wound up winning the race. And so, it's unfortunate that we have to use a piece of equipment that is handed to us and that dictates your day.
All right. We'll open up to questions for Kevin. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless over here to Drew.
I mean, are pit guns that hard to get new ones? I mean, why hasn't it been changed from if you guys have had such issues?
NASCAR hands us the guns. Maybe you should learn the rules.
We'll go up here to Jerry.
Jerry Fairley, Dallas Morning News. Has your organization appealed this to NASCAR or pointed this out?
We've
the failing
of
the gun?
We've talked to them. Everybody on pit road has talked to them. This is 4 out of 7 weeks that we've had trouble with the pit guns. And yesterday the rear pit gun wouldn't even, we had 2 lug nuts that were tight in the last 2 pit stops. And, you had 2 lug nuts that had 30 pounds of torque on them. And today, you have another one that the wheel doesn't even get tight. So, it's just a mess.
There you have Kevin Harvick talking about NASCAR issued pit guns. Apparently somebody didn't know the rules and, of course, he must have took lessons from Tony Stewart because Stewart was one of them to call in to play an issue when the driver asked a stupid question. He was trying to reinvent the wheel. Anyway, let's go hear from our winner, Kyle Busch. And I'm sure he's happy to be back in Victory Lane. And his ongoing continued battle with Harvick for 1 and 2 spots. Apparently, they said it on the telecast yesterday that they finished 1-2 quite a few times with Busch winning some and Harvick winning some. So here is Kyle Busch, your winner at the Texas O'Reilly 500.
All right. We are going to wrap up our post-race media availability for today's O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. We are joined by our race winner, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 Interstate Batteries Toyota. Kyle, this is your 3rd win here at Texas. Obviously, you seem to do pretty well in the spring here. Why don't you just take us through that end and holding off the 4 car?
Yeah, it was certainly a really good day for us. Our Interstate Batteries Camry was fast. We had good speed all day long. It's a little bit difficult to pass, especially when you kind of got up to somebody. You kind of play with that accordion effect from 4 to 6 lengths or so and just trying to get that guy to make a mistake in order to get under him, in order to get by him. But, that was kind of the tail of the tape for a long time there and at the end. Myself with Harvick. There that last restart, I got a really good restart, was able to kind of get away a little bit. Looked like I shut his air off a couple times, he got loose and kind of fell back a little, but then was able to kind of run it back down to get within that 6.54 lengths back, and he kind of stopped there, felt out that was as close as he could get, thankfully. I was just kind of focusing on what I was doing, making sure I could hit all my marks and hit all my laps there at the end of the race, and if I didn't make a mistake, then he was just going to have to get by me and just outtake us or overtake us and be able to get the race for himself. But we held him off, and good day for us, Interstate Batteries Toyota here at Texas Motor Speedway.
All right, we'll open up to questions for Kyle. We'll start in the middle with Jerry Jordan and then come up front to Jerry Fraley.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTires.net, PRN. You've already changed it on Wikipedia. You have tied Bill Elliott the number of wins in the Cup Series. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's cool. It's, certainly anytime you keep winning races and kind of keep moving up the ladder, it's really special. And for myself and for as much as I love to win and hate to lose, it obviously feels a heck of a lot better when you can be here in this room and talking about a win rather than a second or a third or something like that, like we have been the past 6 weeks. So, you know, that's hopefully going to continue to grow and continue to get farther up, and we'll see how far we can get. All righty then. Well, watch out, Buck Baker.
All right, we'll go to Jerry and then Bob.
Jerry Fraley, Dallas Morning News. Kyle, it was just mentioned you're a proven winner. You've been very close this year. Nonetheless, is there any sense of relief to get the first win of the season?
Yes, it certainly is. You know, especially here at Texas, this is probably not one of my best racetracks. You know, we've definitely run well here or run better here the last few years. But, you know, you tend to struggle sometimes at some places, and this one's kind of one of those, especially with a repave for me. They're just not my favorites, you know. So to be out front and to have the track position when we did, how we did, was really great for us. My guys did an amazing job on pit road all day. We had that close call there with that one restart and 1 and 2 with Chase on our outside, and from there we were kind of able to work our way back up through traffic and you know, kind of jump a couple guys under the pit stops there. But overall, I felt like our car was either first or second all day long.
We'll go to Bob and then up to the press box to Chris.
Bob Parker, CSPN. Joe said that days that after you finish second can be long days. I'm curious how many long days you had after Martinsville.
I don't know. I think he just says that because we go to the shop and I give everybody hell on Mondays or Tuesdays during our meetings, you know. So that's kind of the biggest thing, is just making sure that you keep trying to put the drive in the fire and keep everybody lit up and fired up. And I feel like I'm pretty easy to be able to do that because of myself and my temperament and my drive and my focus and everything that I do behind the wheel. So as much as I give it everything I got, I want to make sure all of our people are giving it everything they've got too. And they've been doing a phenomenal job the last 3-4 years, especially. You know, our Toyotas have been good. They've been fast. And Joe Gibbs Racing as a whole has been good. And everything with communication between all the teams has been phenomenal. So we'll just keep plugging along and keep going. I feel like we still need to improve more and more, and it feels good to be able to run as fast as we are with still, I feel like, the improvements that we can make. Yeah, man, you got to forget about it. You got to move on. You know, it certainly stung driving home from Martinsville the whole way home, and from there the next morning we were on the vacation. So I wasn't worried about anything after that.
We're going to go upstairs to the press box to Chris Knight.
Chris Knight at Chess.com. Kyle, now that we saw you get your win today, can you get on the same roll that we saw Harvick did, where you got 3 wins in a row?
I don't know, possibly. We go to another couple of really good tracks for us, Bristol next week, and then I think Richmond after that. So obviously two really good places for us that we tend to run well at, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to being able to get the job done at those places, and Bristol's one of my favorites. I know it's one of a lot of drivers' favorites. Harvick tends to run well there too, and Jones runs well there as well. So we just got to make sure that we do everything that we've done the past few times there to be fast and put a good race car on the racetrack for the race.
Speaking of Bristol, we're back here. This is Vince. No, I don't have a question for Kyle. This was yesterday. Anyway, like you said, going from mile and a half to a half a mile, going from a decently banked track to a high-banked true oval, Thunder Valley, Bristol Motor Speedway, my backyard pretty much, and about 90 miles away. Let's see who we're going to pick for this coming week. This race last year was Jimmy Johnson taking the win, but your dominant car was, believe it or not, Kyle Larson in the 42, who started from the pole, wound up sixth. And Kyle Busch just said he was a good track for him. He did start 7th, but wound up 35th due to an accident. So, led no laps, wound up crashing out fairly early. So, actually, not fairly early, about, what, about 100 laps to go, lap 385, he wrecked the car, or got wrecked. You know, it's Bristol, it's tight, not much room to pass, but it was a Jimmy John. Clint Bowyer had a good run there as well, finishing second, didn't lead any laps. Harvick ran third, led 14 laps, so Johnson was your second biggest lap leader, your third biggest lap leader, your second biggest lap leader, believe it or not. Martin Truex. So this is going to be a tough call. Now we'll see what happened in race number two, which was later in the year, right before the countdown. Kyle Busch took the win over Erik Jones, who was then driving for Furniture Row, who is now driving Kenseth's old car. Erik Jones led 260 of the 500 laps. Kyle Busch led 156. So there's almost, there's 400 and some of the 500 laps. Their next biggest lap leader was Kyle Larson with 70 laps. So, and then Kenseth, believe it or not, did lead a lap. So there's a lot of Toyotas. 1, 2, 3. Three Toyotas led multiple double-digit plus laps. Let's see. Erik Jones, I said, came in second. He led a bunch in that race. Did he lead? Where was he in the other race? He didn't lead any laps. He did finish 17th. He started 14th. So this race last, the day race, this is the day race at Bristol for anybody that doesn't know, was for a different outlook than the night race, which, no, I don't see. And Harvick wound up eighth in that race. Let's see. So who do I think is going to win this one? Boy, this is a tough call. Any comments? Give me a call, 646-649-1899. We do have a few minutes left. We'll see. I'm still out to lunch on this one. I'm not going to. Do I pick Kyle Busch? Do I pick Kevin Harvick? I picked Harvick. Busch, Kyle won this one. Do I think he's going to win two in a row? I know somebody asked him that in the press conference, if he can pull three off. Two short tracks in a row, it's kind of hard, even if you are pretty good on them. Now, Erik Jones, still in a Toyota, but he was with a different team, even though the equipment came from Gibbs. Now he's driving the 17 with Gibbs. I don't want to go that far. Kyle Larson, it's going to be kind of iffy. No, this is a tough one for me to pick. Don't know which way to go. I can't point to anything in particular that has a standout. Do you think Jimmy Johnson? He hasn't had that kind of year this year. So about the only place I would guarantee a pick for Jimmy would be Dover. And that's coming up. That's right. Let's check the schedule out. I got, because you have Texas, you have Bristol, Richmond, Talladega, and then Dover. Dover early. Usually Dover, the first Dover used to be right after Charlotte. Well, they bumped it early. But who's right after Charlotte? And Pocono's got that weekend. And Michigan and Sonoma. Nah. And then, of course, Dover. Is now race two in the playoffs instead of three, which it originally was the second race of Chase before they switched to the playoffs. But race three was the elimination. Actually, the last race to make the chase, the playoffs. Because Richmond, because Vegas is going to be race number one. Boy, they mixed everything up. Charlotte's number two. Richmond's number two. Charlotte's number 3. Dover is number 4. So Dover goes from being the last first elimination race to the round of 12. And I wonder why they jumbled that schedule out. I wonder if Monster Energy had something to do. But anyway, back to who I'm thinking to pick for Bristol. Tough one. Boyer, or where is he finishing that one? Clint's a tough pick. Finished 19th. You know what? This is a tough call. I don't know who to pick. Oh, well, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. It's a, I should put everything in a hat, the top 10 guys in a hat, and just pull a name out. You know what? I'll go with a Ford. I'll say Brad Keselowski. He's not even in it. Where did he finish? Just in case. He started 4th, finished 34th. Wound up 67 laps down in this race. Where did he finish in the last race? The chase race, the playoff race. 7 laps down. He started 17th, finished 29th. Man, this is tough. Let me go back one more time. You know what? Kyle Larson. And wait, let me see where Joey Logano. He finished 5th. He led a few there. And again, he had some issues as well. No, he finished 13th. Right? I'm going to go with Joey Logano in this one. There you have it. That's our show for today. I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. Good day. And good racing. We'll see you all next week with a wrap-up of this. And have some fun. Enjoy the warm weather. I think winter's finally out of here, so I'm going to get some sunshine in and get ready for the next event of the day. Have a good one. See you later. Bye now.